The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Let's go, Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024, and wait for it, there are now 30 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. We are down to day 30.
Is it just
T-minus 30 days? That's what we've got.
That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right, but that's what it says right here.
I thought it was 37.
It would have to be.
Oh, wait.
It's probably 35.
I'm thinking a week ahead, guys.
Gosh,
days
back to back.
Until...
Don't scare me. Back to back shows. You messed up the date.
That's it. I'm just
going to
leave. Can we restart, guys? All right.
Yes.
Here we go. Thursday, March 21st. We are 35 days away from the NFL draft.
Better.
It was a round number. I was thinking 35.
It's all good.
Guys.
Hey, this is probably one of my favorite weeks of the year, like right through here. You're getting all the pro days out of the way. You're being able to see these guys in their natural environment. But also, it's March Madness week, and it's just one of my favorites of the year. And I have to pass the LSU fan to our left a little bit of praise because UNT beat them in the NIT tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know,
go mean green, baby.
The call's over here. We got to give you that.
No, and Brian. You know what? And I'm totally okay with that. As long as you went to the school, mm-hmm. paid your money, and got your degree, mm-hmm. you can say anything you want to me.
That's fair.
Nick? It was great. Yeah. I loved it. I was watching it all night. Couldn't get away from the game. I did not go to North Texas, though.
Yeah. See, I will take your two, Grief. I will not take his.
I wore your LSU jersey and took a picture in it with horns down.
That
so
was
I can
amazing.
Give you some North
that,
Texas.
That was amazing. Yeah.
There you go.
Go be green.
Yeah, that was fun.
At least you didn't have my jersey on at the national championship game and wanted to fight everybody from Clemson like David Helmut.
Muffins.
Yeah. That's
a helmet thing.
David stood up in our row and on his chair and took on the whole state of South Carolina. With my 1985 Sugar Bowl jersey on.
Oh,
he paid his money, though. He can do that, right?
He paid his money, but he wanted... I go, David, we might be able to take three of them, but we're not going to take the whole state.
Whoever steps up first, they're going to hurt, but then we'll eventually
after that,
hurt.
We're probably hurt, too.
That's funny. Hellman always tweets out like the goofy tiger pictures whenever LSU does something big. So I'd sent him a goofy eagle. It's not as fun because they don't have like the boopable nose like up front.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have like the tiger nose.
No,
but
congratulations.
I did what we could.
That's
but
good.
It was fun. The women play in the WBIT tonight against TCU. So a little hometown hometown rivalry there. Let's talk some football because, like you said, not only is it March Madness week and you got your brackets filled out, but you also have pro days. And Nick Harris made a little trip down to Central Texas, to the Hill Country, to take a look at some Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, 13 of the draft-eligible Longhorns down participating in the Pro Day yesterday in Austin. It was good stuff. Most of the guys did not test, and it makes sense whenever you look at all those guys and how they performed at the Combine. You know, why would they test? Jalen Ford, the linebacker, who, you know, is projected probably early day three, he's starting to see his stock rise quite a bit, I think, after yesterday's Pro Day. Scouts were buzzing about him.
Yeah.
He did compete in all the testing. He did everything at the Pro Day yesterday. It looked really good in drills. I was even able to catch up with him for about 30 minutes after, just kind of in the facility and just kind of catching up on his draft process. And he's been working in Arizona. He's living in one of those houses that those guys they'll go train at and live in for, you know, 2-3 months. And he was even living in a house that Odell had bought out at one time. So he's been able to be around some NFL guys. Debo Samuel's come through. So it's been really cool for Jalen Ford. He played just here at the Ford Center at Frisco Lone Star in high school and committed to Texas on the last day of the signing period as a recruit, and then had a huge career at Texas. And one of their guys in the middle of that defense who really commanded everything, really versatile, but he's also got a knack for the ball.
Yeah,
he always finds
sure
a way
does.
To get to the ball. He had led the team in interceptions as a junior. And he was able to back that up as a senior, Beam firing up the highlights. Let's go, Beam. But he looked really good yesterday. Byron Murphy was doing a little bit of agility drills, and my goodness, he moves so well for his size. Mm-hmm. He's just swole like a tick, but, man, he can get after it. He can really move around. And then something that was really fun yesterday, and I I know it's looking forward and looking ahead, but I think it's really important to talk about was the fact that Quinn Ewers, the quarterback for Texas, who will be going back to Texas for another year, he threw in front of scouts to Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Jatavion Sanders, Jordan Whittington, Keelan Robinson, and he looked really good. Only missed one pass to the left. I was trying to get as many scouts' opinions anonymously as possible, and most of the guys were saying he looked really good. It's about those in-game jitters, I think, with Quinn Ewers. We'll be talking about him as a top 10 pick next year, though. I'm fairly confident in that. If he can just build a little bit more confidence and get more confident in being in an offense like that, he'll be just fine. But he looked really good yesterday in shorts and t-shirt. And then Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, man, the speed that those two guys have. My goodness, it was on display yesterday for sure.
Nick, how many did you get a kind of a feel about, like, when you started talking about Ford, the number of teams working him out? You know, I know we're kind of hunting linebackers here if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Did you get a feeling like, okay, it was a Buccaneers coach? It was it a lot of coaches there to see guys like that? I know it was a big pro day.
Yeah, it was funny you say Buccaneers. Buccaneers, Texans, they were working with him in drills and things of that nature. Ryan Watts was also the safety I think he's a safety. He played corner at Texas. He was working out with the Texans as well. So the Texans were pretty active yesterday. Their GM, Nick Caserio, was there.
Okay.
They had three. There was three head coaches there: Zach Taylor from the Bengals, Mike McDaniel from the Dolphins, and then the Colts head coach. What's his name? Come on,
Steichen.
There it is, Steichen. Three head coaches. I was talking with one of the Texas personnel guys yesterday, and they were like, "We've never had a pro day like this." 96 scouts in attendance, three head coaches. Cowboys were represented by offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, so he was definitely taking a look at Jonathan Brooks, who didn't participate. Obviously, he's still dealing with the ACL, but he was still able to talk to scouts and chop it up with them. He's taking a 30 visit to the Cowboys as well, so that'll be really interesting to see as time goes on. And man, that one's just making a little bit more sense with every day that passes by. So
did you get a chance to visit with him at all?
I did. Yeah.
Did he give any timetable of how the procedure's coming along?
Yeah. I mean,
is it training camp or how's that looking?
Yeah, so he's still expected to be ready by training camp for whatever team drafts him. It was a clean tear, and it was probably about as great, quote unquote, as a ACL tear could be, because the swelling went down rather quick. He was able to have surgery quicker as a result, and since it was a clean tear, there wasn't any structural damage or anything like that, so he's going to be able to get back on the field a little bit quicker. But yeah, he should be ready in time for training camp. I think with whatever team does draft him, and let's say it is Dallas, they're going to err on the side of caution, because that is a really talented running back who uses his body as part of his running style, and you want to be able to use 100% of that body whenever he does return to the field. So as long as people err on the side of caution early on with him, I think he'll be just fine as a rookie.
Did you get any feel from, like, with Sweat, like, talking to scouts that maybe he's a first round guy?
I don't think so.
That's what my question was going to be, because you talked about some guys just feeling like they didn't need to have their pro day. It doesn't sound like Sweat did anything, did he?
Didn't do a whole lot at all, now that I think about it. I don't think he did anything now that I think about
and
it.
Then,
yeah.
And I would argue that he was one of the guys that when you're watching him at the combine, I think some people thought that maybe he could.
Yeah.
He maybe needed that pro day to maybe raise his stock a little bit more. I mean, it wasn't a bad performance from him. I think people just expected more from him. So I wanted to ask you that, but Brian beat me to it.
Yeah, no, you're good.
You're good.
The scout in me took over there for a minute.
No.
I'm sorry.
His size is always going to be intriguing for scouts and any team that wants to draft him. I think more so it's about putting it together off the field and putting everything together as far as applying himself 100% to football. And I think if he can be able to do that, then I think he's going to be a really talented pro. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a lapse there in the draft process that'll force him to go in the second round. But I think he is a firm second round pick, whereas, you know, going into the draft process, we were kind of wondering where on day two would be.
Right.
But I think he goes before pick 50.
You have an advantage with us real quick. That you've been able to see him physically. Not a sloppy guy.
No.
I mean, just everything about him put together well and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not sloppy at all. I mean, his size looks good for a defensive tackle. I mean, he's a big boy. Don't get me wrong.
No,
he's a refrigerator. And he's got a little bit of a muscle in him too, but I mean, goodness, you look back to when he came arrived at Texas, he was 250, erring on the side of 240.
Yeah.
Gained 120 pounds over the course of 4 years.
Oh, I can do that easily myself.
That sounds like me after the wedding was
but
over.
I mean, think about also playing football and going through conditioning over the course of 4 years. And a strength and conditioning program at Texas under Tory Becton that is really rigorous.
Right.
And so it forces big guys to lose weight at times, and then they got to kind of bulk them up. They do a really good job in their strength and conditioning program. But for Sweat, it was really impressive to see him add all that weight, and then in this final fifth year, being able to really come into his own as a player as well, and being able to use that weight as leverage. It's really impressive. A couple other notes I want to touch on the Texas Pro Day, and we can move on. Offensive tackle Christian Jones, Cowboys were looking at him closely. You know, that's a guy who's early day three, late day two. We'll kind of see where he falls. I think he's going to end up in the fourth, but 45 games of experience. We've talked about him on the show. He's played at right tackle. He's played at left tackle. Guy's got a ton of experience. He has a high floor, Brian.
Yeah, there we go.
But I think he is a product that you can bring in. You know what you're going to get out of him. I think he's going to be a really good depth offensive lineman at the next level. But I think with his experience, he could eventually have the ceiling to be a starter wherever he does land. And then last note, Jatavion Sanders, the tight end. We're talking about him as a top three tight end in this class. Didn't look as fluid as he may have been that I've seen in the past from him in route running and just kind of getting out in the open field. It takes a lot of steps in between breaks and things of that nature. But, you know, the more I started to think on it and understand his style of tight end play, he's a physical receiver, and he's going to use that body to be able to, you know, shed guys off of him. And he's got the strongest hands, I think, in this class. Whenever you could throw a ball up to him, he's going to bring it down somehow. So I think there's a little bit of positivity that you could take out of that, but I'm starting to worry a little bit about if he can consistently get open at the next level. You know, when a guy can match his size and can match his physicality, what can he do to create separation? And I think that's probably where he's going to find a little bit of you know, rookie hesitance, and that's probably something he's going to have to work on, but I still think he's a firm second round guy.
That's fair.
Lots of good notes coming out of Texas as
can
well.
Can I ask one more question?
You
did you get one more? You got one? No, you good?
Let's go.
Can I ask one more?
Let's go.
Is Worthy really that small?
165. Eye test yesterday, I put him about 170, so probably in that same range.
Yeah.
He's frail, and you look back at Texas last year, and he had to come out of games multiple times, 3 to 4 times off the top of my head. Oklahoma, for sure. Texas Tech, for sure. I think he came off once during the playoff game as well against Washington. That worries you. It definitely does, because if you're getting banged up and 3 times in a season where you're having to come off the field and then reinserted back in, and there was one, I think it was the Texas Tech game where they were carrying him off the field. Like, well, they just lost Xavier Worthy for the playoffs. Yeah. They ended up bouncing back. Yeah. But I worry about the size a little bit. I do.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Lots to look forward to, though, because there's legitimate, what is that, 3 players that the Cowboys are looking at that could possibly be drafted out of Texas, maybe 4 if you throw in Christian Jones, 6. Jonathan Brooks.
7. I forgot about 7. Brooks.
Yeah.
You could look at the two receivers. Granted, I don't think they're going to take a receiver that high, but they met with those guys at the combine. The 2 defensive tackles. I think Byron Murphy is starting to maybe slide into that 20 range. I think the defensive tackle defensive tackle value in this class, it's starting to finally like settle around that 20 range, because it's been here and then it's been there. I think it's starting to be around that range. And you look at Jalen Ford, Christian Jones, Jonathan Brooks.
So people are hunting linebackers. They're hunting linebackers.
Yeah,
that's why we're hearing the buzz about Ford, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every team, I feel like, in the NFL needs linebackers, especially this Cowboys team.
Yep.
Let's play some fill in the blank. So, Brian, you have this segment planned down.
Yeah.
And maybe some Texas names will pop up in these.
You never know.
In these segments. But let's talk about fill in the blank for Thursday. Let's talk about what you've got going on here. What's first?
Yeah, the first thing I want to talk to you, and Bobby, I'll start with you on this one. Okay. I'll get you involved in the program here early. and these are questions I have, and I want you to fill in the blank with the player. Just give me a little short explanation if you can. No, none of us are ever short. We're all kind of long-winded. Me especially. It's very long-winded. But I just want you to kind of tell me, when I ask the question, fill in the blank with the player, and then give me a little reason why you think this. Okay, Bobby, I'll start with you. Bobby, I worry about this player going right before the Cowboys pick at 24.
Oh, man. So the easy answer there is obviously just to say their preferred tackle or whoever that is. To me, the guy that I'm curious about right now is, we see Guyton and Mims and some of these guys who are right side only players. And if you're potentially looking at a left tackle hole here, you know, it would be pretty disappointing if you got somebody like Fatanu from Washington. That would probably be the top one for me, just because
it kind of slid to you in that
area.
Yeah,
if you got him down around that range, which there's no telling. I don't know how people are going to talk about this. There's buzz out there now. People are wondering if Olu Fashanu is going to start sliding into the teens. I don't think there's any chance, but that's the kind of stuff that people start discussing there. And so that one would hurt for me. I think that there's so many offensive linemen here that you're going to find something you should be happy with. But if you got, you know, Fatanu down to like your range where you wanted, that would be pretty disappointing to miss out on that.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, gosh, Fatanu is a really good answer. I'm going to try to go in a different direction. I'm going to focus more on, since Minnesota's picking at 23, I'm going to focus on their needs and a guy that would kind of they would take in that spot that could, you know, maybe hurt the Cowboys. In which case, I would go. Goodness. Laiatu. They need an edge, and you know the Cowboys don't necessarily need an edge, but if they start seeing that name fall, we'll be talking about it on this show. You know, if it's 21, 22, he's still on the board. It's like, hey, you know, maybe go ahead and take one here. Go ahead and take this elite edge. You got two elite pass rushers that you can pair on opposite sides of each other. Maybe that's it. It wouldn't hurt in the grand scheme of things whenever needs come around, because then you could just take that tackle or take that center. It probably works out better for you in the long run, honestly. Yeah. But there would definitely be some disappointed fans if Laiatu was picked at 23.
How about you, Kyle? You got one?
Yeah, I'll go a different direction. I'll go, how about Graham Barton out of Duke? And there's a little bit of buzz for him to maybe slip into the back half of the first round at this point. Solid player, high floor, like you were talking about earlier. And a guy that could plug and play at the center position, guard position. And he played a little bit of tackle as well. If you're looking at 21 and 22, that's Miami and Philadelphia. Those two teams both need interior offensive linemen, and they need it desperately. I'm worried that if Jackson Powers Johnson, I think he's still probably going to go pretty early. Then you've got a Graham Barton in there as well, 21 or 22. He may not be a graded first-round player, but we've seen it in the mid-20s the last couple of years that Dallas has been very good at taking their top player on their board in the second round, their highest graded second round player, and I think he would be in that same category. But if he slips right before them, I think that takes an option away from whatever you would try and do at that 24th spot.
Aisha.
Listen, I might sound like a hater a little bit, but y'all just going to have to let it be. I would worry about there being a run on tackle. And you get there at 24, and someone like Patrick Paul is there. And they're like, okay, I want to fill this tackle spot.
Sure.
This is the best guy on my board. Sure. I'm not a big fan of, like, his day one availability and what he can do. I don't know how you guys feel about him, but I do think there is going to be a run on tackle, and there might be some guys in that in-between spot that you're just like, he's okay, but I'm not in love with the player.
Especially they settle on a guy, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I mean, especially with a lot of the urgency that you can kind of feel that they want to fill the tackle spot, maybe, I mean, depending on how you talk about it. So I'm worried about something like that happening where there's just a run on tackle and they're set on tackle, and that's what they do instead of doing the better thing by getting an edge that you need as well, or one of these skill player positions.
Yeah, it's an interesting point too, because whenever these tackles do start flying off the board, which I'm anticipating it's starting to happen really at about 16.
Yep. Yes,
we're going to have to sweat some if you're here for that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you're at 24 there and your top four, top five guys are off the board, then and Barton's off the board, Jackson Powers Johnson is off the board, do they just take a guy like a Patrick Paul or a Kingsley Suamatia, who they might be reaching on a little bit, but just to go ahead and grab one, hey, we got this guy in hand, they better trade back in that scenario. Let me start there. Go ahead and grab one just to have it, and then just call it a day in the first round.
Okay, here's my next question for you then, too, is if the Cowboys do trade back to, say, Baltimore's pick at 30, I hope this guy is there for them.
Graham Barton.
It's funny that it's the same answer as my first one. I'm worried that he's going to go before the Cowboys, but then I'm worried. I can't probably do both, right? Because if you're going to trade back, you're going to anticipate him being there. I would say, let's say Mims. Let's say he's falling and he's one of those guys that at 30 and you're there with Baltimore, you want him to fall. Or maybe Tyler Guyton, maybe a back-end tackle that you feel like maybe you could snag at 30. Let's go with one of those two guys. What do you think, Bobby?
Phrase it for me again.
If the Cowboys trade back to Baltimore's spot at 30, I hope this guy is there.
Caleb Williams?
Man, because if you're trading back to 30, that tells me your offensive lineman, it didn't match up for you.
Yeah.
Or you feel confident that, all right, we would take him there, but we feel confident they'll be there at 30, so we can move back. Let's pick up some extra capital. We don't have that fourth round pick. So, man, for me, I would hope one of the centers would still be there if there was a run on tackles like that. So Barton for me, or Jackson Powers Johnson, I would hope that they would be there.
Jackson Powers Johnson is an interesting one because I think he's getting a lot of attention this week because And it's depending how you guys feel about these experts out there and in this room. Mel Kiper has not included him in either of his mock drafts, all three of them. Daniel Jeremiah is starting to slip him a little bit. So you wonder if there was something maybe at the combine that teams are starting to maybe have a little bit of hesitance on. But, I mean, you cut on the film. The dude's a dog. I think he's safely a first-round pick. But you wonder why that slip is happening. Maybe he's a guy that you're hoping is there at 30 if you trade back.
It's one of those things you got to hop on the phone and try and figure out what's going on here over these next few weeks.
Yeah, I think to me there's a couple of things, and the things that could kind of bring it into focus, and this is where the media scouts now have to start to catch up because the medical stuff. Is there something that we don't know about? Yep. Is there some type of pre-existing injury that he's dealing with that now he played through, and now teams are like, well, wait a minute, this is a red flag for us. You know, we've seen it before with players. You know, all these kind of things, because this is the first opportunity that you have to get any kind of medical information. So that's the one thing. It does. I think it's very astute on your part to recognize with Kiper, and then also, too, with what Daniel Jeremiah is doing, that he's kind of dropped. You see him starting to drop, and you wonder if they know something. Is there something that he's dealing with now?
Which DJ did in the mock he just put out like 2 days ago. He put Jackson Powers Johnson at 24 to Dallas.
Yeah.
And so he had mocked him there. It's just it was a slide from where he had him going previously.
Yeah,
Sign me up. I'll do it either way.
Yeah. Do you have somebody at 30 that you're kind of hoping would be there if you trade back this thing?
So I go back and forth with this because rewatching Cooper Beebe, I've watched him a couple times.
Yeah.
I do think – if people view him as, obviously he can play guard, he's a guard. But if people view him as, oh, I can just move him to center, I think that in a way drops his value. Like, obviously I know that center is something that people want now, but at the same time, I do think that we've seen that position be drafted a little later. So for me, I'm wondering if the short arms and some of that stuff starts getting to people and maybe he slips because there is a run on tackle. Mm-hmm. There is a run on wide receivers and some of those guys, and maybe some of these guards get pushed to the end of things like that. If Cooper Beebe was there, I wouldn't mind it because also, too, a lot of people are having this conversation of, is Tyler going to stay? Are you going to kick Tyler to tackle and you just get a guard? Is that the more surefire thing to do? Because we've seen Tyler play tackle. You know what he's capable of. You bring in a guy that maybe can be insurance at guard, but then also, too, going to battle for that center spot and make some noise in that room as well. So that's kind of how I felt about it, if that's not weird.
No. Frazier's the guy for me, too, from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I think if you got back to 30, he would be kind of a guy that would hold on. Another one, too, that maybe – if I could circle back, the guy that might be there at 30 that I like, and I don't know if he'll be there or not, Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M, but I'm starting to hear buzz.
Adrian?
Yeah, I'm starting to hear buzz that he might be – you have to maybe go higher on him. I mean, a lot of people had him as a second-round guy. Scouts are saying, no, the Cooper kid. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we're seeing with some of the health of some of the linebackers in this group. And everybody's saying, well, Cooper might be a guy that gets moved up around. And so he might be a guy that might be taken ahead of you if you're thinking, oh, we can move back and maybe get a guy like that. Maybe he goes before you, and now you're kind of like, darn, we just lost a guy.
I think Cooper is solidly top 40 right now.
Yeah.
Like solidly. And if there's somebody who goes, we need linebacker help here, we need, I wouldn't be stunned if he were to go back into the first.
Yeah. When do you guys think the first linebacker goes?
Well, whenever he goes.
Probably Cooper. I think Cooper goes
late first, early second.
Late first, early second.
So is there a linebacker that you guys, if was at 30, besides him, outside of Edron Cooper, the second year, who is there a linebacker you would be okay with taking?
I love Wilson, and I know I'm dealing with medical.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm there at 30, I don't know if I could take Wilson over Frazier or another tackle.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I can do that.
It's kind of where I'm at. I like Junior Colston from Michigan a lot.
Yeah.
Colston specifically is a guy that I think could plug and play right now, but I'm not going to take him at 30 because I have so many different prospects that I would like in that area.
That's why I was asking. I was like, I wonder if there's at least – maybe there's maybe two linebackers that are going to go in the first round of me, if that.
Yeah.
So.
Got time for one more, Brian.
Okay. Media scout. Okay, we'll start with you on this one, Kyle, then.
Okay.
Media scouts are not giving this guy enough credit.
Ooh.
Somebody that you guys have that media scouts are not giving this guy enough credit as you watch your tape, as you make your evaluations. Like, they don't talk about this guy, and they should be talking about this guy.
So it can be just as simple as they're not having the conversations that they should be.
Yeah. Whoever you feel like that media scouts are missing on right now.
We've talked, especially on this show, I don't know about outside of this show.
Yeah.
We've talked about Byron Murphy from Texas, Tavondre Sweat from Texas, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, and Ruke Oro from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked a lot about Jerjon Newton from Illinois.
That's true.
Really like him as a defensive tackle prospect. I put a first-round grade on him. I think specifically his size is intriguing. 6'2", 304, but he moves so well. Has some pass rush ability. Had 7.5 sacks last year. Had pressures on a significant amount of his snaps. It felt like in the Big Ten, where he's playing against legitimate offensive line competition, he was in the backfield quite a bit as a defensive tackle. So I think there's a chance that he could slide into the first round. I put a first-round grade on him, and if a team is hungry for a defensive tackle, he's a guy that I would look out for.
Fun story about Newton. He is I don't want to throw this name out because I haven't talked to him about it, but there is someone in this building who helped recruit Newton to Illinois. And I knew that guy way back when, and I actually did Newton's commitment video. Back in like the class of 2020. It was like the night before signing day. He was like, hey, man, like this guy really just wants a commitment video. He's signing tomorrow. Can you just kind of throw something together for him? I was like, I can try. And it was the biggest piece of garbage, in my opinion.
Can you find it for us?
Hey, man.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Can you tweet it out?
I still have the text messages from me and Jerjon Newton talking about this commitment video. It was
nice.
Funny. But I like Newton, too. And I think this was what I was thinking about yesterday. And I was doing some defensive tackle work this past week, just trying to, get some stuff down. And he's one that I think just kind of got lost in the shuffle because you knew what you were getting if he had come out last year.
Yep.
You were expecting him to be in that maybe second round, late first round range. He doesn't come out last year. Okay, well, that means he's going to be a top 10, top 15 pick going into next year. That's what you're thinking this time last year. And he continues to have that stock as the season goes on. Really shows some impressive stuff, both at 3-tech and 1-tech. They move him around. They were able to play him next to Keith Randolph, the other Illinois defensive tackle, who I think is
really
being
good.
Slept on quite a bit as well. But as this draft process has gone on, you've seen Byron Murphy rise with this big, swole frame. And you see Tavondre Sweat with a 366-pound frame. Oro has this big Clemson pedigree, but it's still Newton that you're not hearing as much about, which you would have maybe expected coming into the draft process. That's a really good one, Kyle. I like
Thanks,
that
man.
One.
Bobby, you got one.
Yeah, is this, let me get clarity here. Somebody we think media scouts are behind on from the rest of the league or behind on from my perspective of how I view the player?
I asked you the question.
How I view the player. Braylon Allen.
Are we going to do this every week?
Yeah, we are. Braylon Allen. That's who I want. Braylon Allen to me is a second round running back. I watch Braylon Allen, that's James Conner to me. Like,
ooh.
I see Conner like vividly when I watch him play. And so I think a lot of people I've seen Allen is, feels like the ceiling for him with a lot of people is like third at max, but like more people seem to have him as like an early day three type of guy. But Braylon Allen, I think just the way that he runs with power and decisiveness and the way that even with his size can slip through some of these, narrow spots, it's very reminiscent to me of Conner.
I put Brian Robinson Jr. I like what his agility. Yeah. He's got some sideways lateral ability. Can put a foot in the ground and get upfield when he needs to.
I wish
to.
He blocked better as a guy that big.
That's kind of where I've got. Yeah,
Aisha, you got somebody.
Yeah, I do. All right, so it's a bit unorthodox, and I'm not saying that the media hasn't. I don't think they're talking about him because he is a bit of a wild card. We've talked about him before. Mm-hmm. D.N. Iyabe Oki he's from Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
The talent. Mm. On this guy, when I looked at the DNs in this class, I'm impressed by some of them, but it's very either or with so many of them. It's either they're fantastic as a pass rusher, but maybe they don't want to set the edge, or they're not set in their legs and getting square, things like that. And this guy, y'all. So the background is a little nuts. He was originally drafted to Alabama. He transferred to Houston. He's been to about four or five different schools.
Yeah.
And the guy is 6'3", 253, just this amazing athlete. The bend is there, the speed to power. I mean, he's willing to be active in the run game. He was, out of all the ends I've watched, he's the talent. He stands out so much to me. But I understand why people maybe wouldn't be talking about him because he is a wild card.
Yeah.
I see this guy going somewhere, hopefully to a good program that can continue to. He's changed his life. He's done some things. He's, religiously involved and stuff like that. But he deserves a second look. And, we talk about this league, guys getting second chances. He's had a lot of different chances. I get it. But if you just take the time to watch this guy, I would be surprised if somebody didn't decide to, you know, to draft this guy, and that he goes to a program and he's a disruptor.
Yeah,
he's a disruptor. I don't know if you guys have watched him, but I think the players fan. Good name. Fantastic.
Michigan, Alabama, UT, Martin, Houston, and now Charlotte. And that's where he's landed here. And he was at the Shrine Bowl. You can understand why he was recruited to those big time programs.
Yes,
because you do see those traits. It's just developing off the field. I think that's going to be maybe a high risk, high reward type deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe on day three, but I think that's a fun one.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you're doing your homework on where he's at character wise, because he was absolutely like the number three recruit in the country. He was big time. Saban dismissed him really quickly, refused to talk about why, wouldn't mm-hmm. discuss it. He got dismissed from Houston pretty quickly. There have been a lot of off the field issues with him that they'll have to work through and that they'll have to figure out. But I mean, just as like perspective of how long he's been in school, all these programs he went through, he committed to Alabama the 9 months before the Cowboys drafted Leighton Vander Esch.
Whoa.
That's how long he's been in college football now.
I think we graduated in the same high school class. No, I'm 100% serious.
Well,
does that mean you still have eligibility?
maybe.
Well, maybe I'll do
some digging.
You sound
like an interesting guy, though.
He is, but I'm going to do some digging with Bobby on like exactly what the character things are and stuff like that. What I was able to read about him is that this last year or so, he has done a lot of rehabilitation type things and stuff like that. But as far as, like I said, the player, I was heavily impressed just watching the player and seeing what the player was capable
of. He's a dude.
Just the places he's been, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the schools that were willing to step up, and
it's a
talent there. I'm going to throw a guy real quick in there. Luke McCaffrey from Rice.
Ooh,
he's a guy that nobody's talking about at all.
That's fair.
And I'll tell you what, man. I know we're up against time. I'm not going to bet against this kid. You watched him. He played in Nebraska. He was a quarterback. He was a wide receiver. He's developing as a wide receiver. We had a lot of big conversations about Ricky Pearsall last week from Florida and those types of players. Luke McCaffrey, though, I don't think people are talking about him nearly enough. And I know he's got the famous brother and all, the famous mm-hmm. family and all. The bloodlines are there. You could see it. But the way that he plays the game and the way that he goes and gets the football and the way he tries to finish and the toughness he plays with, he's going to make somebody a really good player.
I'm going to be completely honest. I was going to the Senior Bowl and I see him lined up. I was like, okay, this is nepotism.
Yeah.
And then he looked really
you
good.
Make me sick. Yeah.
He looked really good. I was like, hey, okay. Like he lined up against Chris Abrams Drain and won a route. And I was like, okay.
He's learning how to be a wide receiver, but the concentration, the ball skills, all that are just super. They're going in the right direction. So Luke McCaffrey from Rice, he's probably not going to be day one, day two, but watch him in day three for sure.
If only there was a Rice connection here.
Only. Nice. Only. Yeah.
If only. Yeah. There's a couple of them. It was funny. I had the North Texas Rice game last year, and he didn't end up playing, but he was one of the interviews that they gave us pregame because it was like a game time decision sort of deal. And he was awesome. Just great guy to talk to. He sounds like Christian. He really does. Like they have the same mannerisms, the same vocal tone. I mean, they are almost spitting image whenever it comes to the way that they process the game and the way they process information. Yep. I'm right there with you. That's a great one. All right. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Some good names out there. When we come back, we've got some Twitter on the 20. It's more like Twitter on the 35. But we're going to talk about it. When we come back, answering your questions on the Draft Show next.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Welcome back into the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. You want to know who else is the best in Texas? Chris Beam, who's about to hit the sounder for some
Twitter on the 20.
Never gets old.
It never does. Keith asks, with all of the current situation surrounding Dak Prescott and his contract tied up and not wanting to push that money into 2024, is it crazy to think that if a quarterback slips to the Cowboys at 24, that the Dallas Cowboys may take one of these first-round quarterbacks? He specifically mentioned Michael Penix from Washington. But I want to leave it open to interpretation. If one of those quarterbacks slips, do you think there's any possibility that the Cowboys take him in 24? Bobby, I'll start with you.
Nope. I don't think so.
I agree.
And if you're talking about one of these quarterbacks, like Penix getting to 24, I don't think that's like a blinking light if he slides down there. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, there was discussion that he could be in this range. If somebody were to really drop, like Jaden Daniels, some impossible fall to you at 24, that clearly says there's something going on here that nobody's, you know, picked him yet and that nobody wants to go up and get him. So I don't think you're making that sort of a sacrifice, you know, as any sort of a leverage play with Dak Prescott. There are a lot of things this team needs, and they don't have necessarily a lot of resources in this draft to be able to cover everything that they need to. And so because of that, like, I don't know that you want to use an extra pick. You want to use that first round pick on, well, let's bring in some competition. Let's go do the, you know, the Steve Walsh routine. Do I think they take a quarterback sometime during the draft? Maybe. I mean, they might. They could take one day three if they like somebody. You know, if they look at traits and say, wow, we really like Devin Leary, man, he can sling the ball around. Like, sure, okay, they could look
Kentucky,
at that.
Kentucky, by the way.
Yeah, Kentucky, quarterback in Kentucky. I don't think there's any chance, though, that a quarterback at 24 is in play.
There were a number of positions that Dallas didn't meet with formally at the combine. Quarterback was one of them. They didn't meet with a single quarterback at the combine. That doesn't mean they won't address it at some point, like Bobby said, and that doesn't mean that there won't be a 30-visit quarterback either. But
you know what? There's a couple things in factor here, though. If they hadn't traded for Trey Lance and they didn't have the mass exodus that they've had where their roster was pretty still intact, because Ted Thompson did it for Aaron Rodgers. And we all, through that draft, Aaron Rodgers, it was either him or Smith, you know, was going to be taken. And Rodgers ended up going to 24 to Green Bay. Ted Thompson, the GM at the time, had no intention of drafting a quarterback. He was sitting on a defensive lineman. And he's like, he looked at his board and he's like, I've got to take this quarterback, right? And his guys all agreed with him. And it ended up being Aaron Rodgers, you know? So if Dallas was in a situation where they were still dealing with Dak's contract – and their roster was complete where they didn't have massive holes in it and they hadn't traded for Trey Lance, I think there's a little bit more willingness to maybe do something like that. You know, I don't think that's something you could just put out of your mind, but that's the scenario is not that way right now. They've got massive, massive losses in key positions for them. And they have a quarterback that they thought enough of that they traded a fourth round pick for, who they had as a second round grade on their board. So to me, if you didn't have all those factors and one of those quarterbacks fell to you, I think I would give it a look, a very strong look, but we're not to that right now. That would be the only way. But I just remember Ted Thompson doing it for Aaron Rodgers, you know, and it worked out for him pretty well.
I'm telling you one thing. If one that is – valuable does fall to them, they better hold them hostage and get on the phones.
Yeah.
Do something. Because I know we're going to talk about it later, but, yo, with how kind of, like, top-heavy this draft is with, like, the skill players, there's going to be some value there in that fourth, fifth round.
Yeah.
And I think they really do need to figure out how to be involved in that day in that day two, start of day two situation. Yep. For real, man. Yeah.
I think it would be an incredible scenario if one of these quarterbacks is sliding and he's there at 24, because then you can get on the phones and make a really good deal. So.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody's going to overpay hard to get there.
You could get a second, probably, depending on who it is. Ooh. You could really get a second.
I was about to say, depending on who it is.
Depending on who it is, you could really get a second.
Well, you'd have to worry about two, and this is the thing about it is, you talk about holding people up, but other people see quarterbacks sliding too, and they're thinking the same thing.
So now
you have to gauge, if you're the team coming up into the draft, you have to gauge how far up you go and how much it's going to cost you to get there. You know, and if Dallas has no intention of trading for a quarterback or drafting a quarterback, you could probably pass on them and stay behind them some way, somehow. But yeah, it's going to be the teams that are ahead of you are the ones that can kind of dictate what's going to happen there to you. Because teams are going to say, Dallas has no intention of taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
And we can get past them and we don't have to pay. And everybody knows Dallas will hold you up too. You know, because they don't have a third round pick the fourth round pick like Aisha is asking for.
Yeah. Our boy Vach, who does great job covering the draft and covering the Cowboys as well, he said, what position would you be most comfortable not addressing in the first three rounds? And he only gives four opportunities, so one has to be left out of these four. Offensive line, linebacker, defensive tackle, or wide receiver. Which one do you feel like you would leave out most likely in that scenario?
Probably the wide out.
It'd be the wide receiver.
It'd be the wide receiver. I'm going back and forth with linebacker, but you need another body in that room. So it would be receiver. There's going to have to be a big step up from Jalen Tolbert this next season. And I think he's capable of it. You saw it from year one to year two. I think he's going to have to make a similar jump to year three. I was able to catch up with him last week. He's ready for that type of responsibility. But I still think they need to go grab one on day three just to be able to throw in that room and compete with him, Jalen Brooks. I think Jalen Cropper is somebody that was on the practice squad last year that I liked quite a bit during the draft process. So they have some guys in that room.
So you're telling me one of these Jalens is going to work out. It's either going to be Tolbert, Brooks, or Cropper. We're going to figure something out along
maybe
the way.
They go get Jalen Coker out of Holy Cross.
Yeah, we can just keep on swinging at this. But do you really feel comfortable? I know CD, okay, check. You got CD, check. But you do not have Michael Gallup anymore. Do you feel comfortable as your number two receivers being Brandon Cooks for 1 year and then figuring it out with Jalen Tolbert and whoever it ends up being behind that? If you don't address wide receiver at any point.
Yeah, then you're probably talking about a high pick on receiver next year. But it's been in really good receiver classes the last however many years.
True.
So you're banking on that happening one more year.
Yeah, the class is just so deep at receiver. And, when we talk about, like, those other positions, even stacking the positions. Like, let's forget depth in the draft. Just look at the positions and what Dallas needs to address right now. I would still put receiver fourth. And then when you consider there's a lot of depth here, I think if you're waiting till the fifth to touch a receiver, you're probably going to end up picking somebody that you have graded higher than a fifth.
Talk about it.
I think there's just so many of them. It's so deep. It's so loaded that I think that you've got the ability to kind of sit around and wait a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Next one. This one comes from Mike Poland across the pond. He says, which one would you choose? All offensive picks in the first three selections for the Cowboys, first three rounds. All three are on the offensive side or all three on the defensive side? You got to pick one or the other. Can't mix or match. Which one are you addressing?
You said your first three picks, you have
first three selections.
Defense. Well, no. Ooh. No, I'm going offense. I'm going offense. I'm going offense.
Okay.
I'm going offense.
Yeah, that's all three offense, slam dunk. Because you can't, you can't wait till the fifth round to touch offensive line. Yeah. It's just that's
what I thought of
that's
immediately.
That's the main position.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I'm going offense. I'm trying to think of the defense that, how you would do it. How would you? What order would you go, though, if you had to pick three defensive players in a row, three positions in a row?
D-tackle, linebacker, D-tackle. D-tackle, linebacker,
it's amazing
linebacker,
that they do not have corner. One technique. Let's say we have about Mozzie and all that. But they don't have – Aisha, where am I?
It's scary times out here in these streets. And that's why I'm going offense, because at this point, if they don't do something, somebody do something, you're just going to have to score a million points.
Yeah.
Because the way that you're handling,
Team 40 Burger back?
it might have to be 50.
Yeah.
Team like, 50 burger. You, this isn't, and especially too with last year, it is going to be interesting to see the change because one of the trends was like you found out that this team didn't get turnovers last year, then it was a problem. I'm like, no, this offense at this point is just going to have to score a lot of points, depending on how Zim does things. I just don't, some of these holes, like when you talk about not having a surefire nose tackle.
Yeah.
It's scaring me.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Ain't nobody else nervous out here?
No, we are.
Are there any gentlemen? I mean, whatever.
Linebacker or edge at two at the second. If you were taking tackle first, linebacker or edge with that second pick?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, no, which one would you do? That's what I'm asking you guys.
Probably linebacker. Yeah. I understand the need for edge. I do. Don't get me wrong, but I'd probably go linebacker there. Do you feel better about...
That's what I'm
do you feel better about Sam Williams or do you feel better about Marshawn Nealand? You know, so depends.
Man,
depends
there's
the answer to that question.
I honestly, if they picked any defensive position other than maybe corner, and I could still probably be talked into it, if they picked any of those defensive positions in the top two rounds, I'm probably not complaining.
Even safety?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable. I mean, I think there's been way too much underplaying where their safety group is at right now.
I died on that hill last year.
I know. Brian and I have gotten killed for this. I just don't think the safety play is good enough here.
Mm. I think they have really good depth, though. And I think if you're looking around at needs on the team, you're looking more for more depth. I love Wanya Thomas. I think Marquise Bell being able to step back into that safety role again this year. Mm-hmm. I think there's comfortable depth there enough to where you don't need to address that in the first couple of days.
In general, I would agree. Here's the thing. Zim plays such complex, disguised coverages. I can't have anything short of, an upper-tier, IQ processor at safety right now. And I don't know that they have... Look at just in general who Zim's had over his career, Harrison Smith, Darren Woodson, guys he's had who are really high IQ players who see the game a kind of step ahead. I don't know that they have that. I think they've got decent safeties, but I don't know that they have that elite mental processor. And so... I would want them to go and try and find some of that, whether that be, I mean, I know a lot of people like Newbin and the way that he processes and the way that he sees the game and stuff. I think Bishop at Utah is another one. Yeah. I like the way that he processes. And so to me, I think safety is a very underrated need. If they took a safety in the first or second round, if they felt comfortable with where the grade number was there, I wouldn't look at that as a waste of resources.
Mm. I think that's why it's also difficult, too, with the new DC coming in, because the usage of the way that Zim uses safeties is – it's different in a lot of ways of how, and I understand what you're saying, Bobby, but I do think that there was, it's a lot more pressure on your safeties to do things than what typical safeties is doing out here in these streets consistently. I think that a lot of those guys last year specifically suffered because of some of the linebacker play and it trickled down. So I don't know. I don't feel like it's like a need at this point. But if you did see it, if Newbin is the best guy on your board, you just go get him.
Yeah. I think a lot of
what you're saying there.
Quinn did while he was here, though, was not minimized, but I think he was able to kind of
mask.
Shift. He was just able to shift around. Whereas, we're talking about, if you go watch the tape of Zimmer's Vikings defenses, they are doing some elaborate stuff from what they're showing you at the snap to then what they're dropping into coverage and doing. And I got to have the guy all the way at the back has to know everything that's happening in front of him. So to me, it's like if you can find somebody who you really trust as a mental processor, as somebody to diagnose and be where they're supposed to be, then and you find that they're there in the second or third round, you need to take that.
Yeah, we need to take a safety at 24 is what we need to do now.
So you think a rookie's going to be better than Malik off rip?
I think Newbin and Bishop potentially are better processors.
Tracking. Hmm.
It's another element of a need that we haven't even talked about.
Feel like that about safety. Yeah. That's interesting.
It's a whole new wrinkle.
I need to go back.
We got to figure it all out.
I think an interesting later option at safety is Keaton Oladapo at Oregon State. I don't know if y'all have gotten a chance to look at him.
Not watched him.
Say it again.
Keaton Oladapo. A lot of length.
Victor Oladipo?
Oh, okay. Keaton Oladapo.
Oh, okay, sorry.
A lot of length. I think he stands around 6'2", 6'3". Don't correct me on that. I got Trayvon Wallace's height wrong on the last show, and I heard about it. So
I mixed up a tackle and a guard.
Yeah, you know, it happens. You know, we can't be perfect over here. We're actually batting very, very low. But Keaton Oladapo got great length. I think he could be there in the third, fourth round. That could be the fun option. I just wanted to throw that one in there.
Good to know. All right, I want to continue answering some questions. We were originally going to do a positional spotlight. We're going to save that. I don't want to waste any positional spotlights and maybe try and rush through it. But I have some more questions from Twitter on the 20 that we can get to here in a couple of moments, including, would you be willing to trade out of the first round if the value is right? We'll talk about that when we come back with more of the Draft Show right after this.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, spring cleaning calls for a spring refresh. Head to a pro shop near you or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and brighten your Cowboys wardrobe this 2024 with the best gear in the game. Pretty soon we're going to have
some best in the game
NFL draft apparel, like the hats and stuff. They're going to have that up in the pro shop pretty soon. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, Aisha Morrison.
Get some new draft show shirts.
Yeah. Coming up quickly.
Hopefully I get one that's close to my sock. That one last year was swallowing me, y'all. It was like a nightgown, like a muumuu.
Yeah.
With a collar, though.
Sorry.
Aisha, a professional nightgown.
Brian brought us Nick Harris. We've got Bobby Belt. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Nick's going to get, like, it's like his rookie shirt. That's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah. Am I going to have to buy them all? Am I going to have to do a rookie dinner after the draft? Is that
yes.
What it is?
That sounds great.
No, Jerry, no, no, no. Jerry will take care
Jerry
of that.
Jerry gets us on that one.
No. Like, when you put it on, it's like, oh, like you have that moment of, like, it's a big deal.
It is going to be.
Honor.
It is a big deal. It's a big deal. All right. We've got a question that has to do with trading back in the first round. Of course, trading back is certainly an option. Now that the free agency has gone the way that it has for
we're
the Cowboys.
We're talking about this more and more.
Talking about trading back. Brady wants to know, would you be willing to trade out of the first round if the value is significant? If the offer was good enough to take away that fifth-year option, would you be willing to do so? Nick Harris.
Run that back.
Would you be willing, if the value is there, to trade out of the first round?
Okay.
So the points match up on the chart, but you lose the fifth-year option being a first-round pick.
It depends how early in the second we're talking. What are you getting back there? What does the points match?
This is where I'm thinking. I'm willing to get out of the first round, but the teams I'm only willing to deal with are Carolina, the Commanders, New England, Arizona, the Chargers.
So basically 33-37 in the second.
I only want to deal – and you know why? Because I want every one of their picks to start the top of the next round is what I want to do. That way they'll give me a pick at the top of the round, and that'll give me a pick down where I'm picking there in that 24 range.
It is a perfect points match if you were to take 24, jump back to 36 with Washington, and then if Washington gave you 78 in the third round. Yeah. That's perfect point match. That matches up exactly.
Yeah. You guys think people are going to be a little bit more stingy because they know that this year is like those mid-rounds are money?
You are on to something, I think.
And they may have to sprinkle in a fifth to make that worth it.
Everybody's looking at the value of this board.
It's possible. Here's the only reason why I think Washington's a really good target for it. Washington had to spend to their salary cap floor. They had the most cap of anybody. So they've had to fill a ton of positions with veterans. They've been on a signing spree. So, I mean, if you're talking about that they've got capital where it's like, you know, we've already filled a bunch of this. We've spent a lot of free agency.
Picks too.
Yeah, that it may be one of those things where Washington's like, well, I mean, honestly, we could get all these picks, but we're going to have to cut a bunch of these guys at the end of camp anyway because we signed all these free agents because they were $78 million under the cap or something like that. Yeah. They've got to spend, I think it's 95% of the floor or something like that. And so they've thrown that money around. I mean, we've seen four Cowboys players go over there already this offseason. And so, I mean, I think Washington makes a ton of sense from the draft capital they have and what they've already had to fill their roster with.
If only you had a connection in that building that, you know, has worked in our building the last 3 years.
Yeah, if only had eight of them or something, like are over like there
that.
Now.
You know, but that, to me, I just... Dallas Jr. But you guys understand what I'm saying about trying to get those picks at the top of the round?
Sure.
I mean, that... Yeah. I'm not interested...
And they have the top of the round.
I'm not... I mean, yeah, picks are picks, but I'm not really interested in getting around where I'm at. I'm trying to hit some picks at the top of these rounds and then kind of rally in the round with my spot. And I think that gives you maybe a little bit more flexibility there. But, you know, I'd be interested in doing that. Absolutely, I would be.
What if, would you take – the points don't match up. You'd be getting shortchanged a little bit. But would you take – if Dallas from 24 went back to – Carolina at the top of the second, which is 33.
Yeah.
And then they gave you the top of the fourth round, 101. So you get to sit on the board the night before.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. I would do that right now.
I would take that.
Yeah, let's go.
You think you get shortchanged from that?
No, in terms of on the point chart,
the point
you are. They're getting you.
Yeah. Okay. If you, and you, again, if you're making it, but to open day three, and
you also open day two.
Let me sleep on my board.
Carolina,
you know?
Carolina's got 2 second round picks and they don't have a first. If they want to go up and get the fifth year option, go to Dallas. Just like, all right, here you go. Here's the fourth round pick because Chicago's got that pick in the first.
When was the last time the Cowboys slept on a pick? It's probably been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they knew they wanted to go get DeMarcus Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one where they got up in there where they took the Commanders pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Commanders made a trade with them then. But, man, there's nothing better than knowing you could start day three with this. And maybe you have a third-round grade or a second-round grade. You have somebody up there like, man, how did this guy get through kind of a thing. So
the highest pick they had in the last couple of years was when they picked at 75 in the third. That wasn't sleeping on a pick, though, because that was the third round. 115 in the fourth round back in 2021, they took Jabril Cox, and that was like pick 10 of the day. So even then, you're way closer to that.
It's probably Aikman.
Than normal. You said what?
It's probably Aikman.
Maybe Aikman. That's a while back. I think there's options for you to trade out of the first round. It would have to be a perfect scenario.
Who would you?
Like
okay,
that.
Let's say you do trade to, you trade to Carolina, and you start the you got pick 33. We just did that, right? Or are needs the same? I mean, I tried to get you to 30, and you guys were all hoping for a guy. Do you think you could get your guy to 33 that you picked?
I think you're comfortable. You'd have to be comfortable with Kingsley Suamatia, I think, as a tackle option.
Yeah.
I think he could be there. I think he will be there at 33. So as long as you're comfortable with that being your guy, then that's probably it. But I struggle with Barton being there, Powers Johnson. Most of the tackles, that'd be tough.
How about Morgan? I can't interest anybody in Morgan, can I? Nobody's going to go with me on
this
one.
If he's at 33, I would take him at 33.
Absolutely.
But people are talking about him as a guard, right? Arizona.
I'm putting him at tackle. I am. I'm still putting him at tackle.
Why is there so much discrepancy in what he is?
He's
got
short arms
is what people are saying. And so I need to figure out. I need to ask my gang of seven where they got Morgan.
It's so crazy to see how much he's fell out of favor in some sense to people. Because I felt like when we started this process, people were...
I think inconsistencies there, too.
Right.
Where do you think Latham goes? Alabama's tackle.
He's
fast top 20.
That's
he's really?
Kinda,
he's 20 to me.
I think he's a top 20
He kind of has the Jerzon Newton disease, I think, also, where it's like we were going into the draft process like, yeah, okay, that's first-round guy. All right, what about these other guys?
Yeah.
And you start sorting these guys, and you
don't
forget about this guy.
Don't call him Newton's
disease.
And also,
disease. Too, I want to – that's tragic. But I also – but, no, I do think – and it's messed up. But I do think there is some hesitancy with some of the Alabama tackles that we've seen come out
in
the last couple years.
No question.
And the injuries and some of the things like that, the conditioning, I do think that might be a reason why he maybe falls as well, because people are a little hesitant at some of the development.
Yeah, I had a scout tell me, I go, can this guy play left tackle? And he goes, I don't think he can, but I think he'd be an all-pro guard.
So to me, Latham?
Yeah. To me, I was thinking, draft him left guard, kick Smith left out. Tackle. Two really big, powerful guys on the left side. Yeah, we'll run the football now.
Just for it to be Alex Leatherwood.
Only to the left side.
No, don't say Alex. Alex Leatherwood now, was too long. He was too long.
Yeah.
I think he moved in sections. Yeah. When you watched him play, it was weird.
Oh, man. I think every time we end up a draft show, it's just like a big sigh of like, okay.
It's exhausting.
Here we go. let's wait and talk about it again on Tuesday. Yeah. Have fun this weekend watching March Madness. Everybody stay safe out there.
Watch your tape, too, while you're at it.
Watch the tape. Well, yeah, you could have the multi-screens rolling. You got a tape on the left. You got the four box on the right-hand side. Yeah. It'd be a fun one.
That's going to be me.
There you go. For Bobby Belt, Nick Harris, for Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the Draft Show. We will see you on Tuesday.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!